Welcome to our collective nightmare, where the skies above us reflect the chaos within. Today, we have yet another chapter in the ongoing saga of airborne absurdity. A mid-air collision at Marana Regional Airport in Arizona, two small aircraft decided to meet in the sky with all the grace of a drunken waltz, leaving two souls departed and an airport cloaked in smoke and disbelief. Let's dissect this aerial ballet of doom. A Cessna 172S and a Lancair 360 MK2, names that sound like they belong on a racetrack rather than an uncontrolled airfield, collided while navigating what one might generously call upwind of runway 12. The Cessna managed to land without further incident, as if mocking its flaming counterpart, which met its fiery fate upon impact with terra firma. The scene is now a tapestry of twisted metal and charred earth, closed off for investigation by authorities who will no doubt file it under unprecedented, because apparently that's what we're calling preventable tragedies these days. In a place dubbed an uncontrolled field, pilots rely on little more than radio chatter to avoid turning their flights into impromptu fireworks displays. It's as if we've decided that air traffic control is overrated. Who needs guidance when you can have chaos? Yet, here we are again, sifting through debris and wondering why our skies resemble less a network of precision and more a circus without a ringleader. This isn't an isolated incident, but part of a grim pattern. A macabre dance card filled with collisions from coast to coast, from Philadelphia medevacs plummeting from the heavens to private planes veering off runways like they've had enough of gravity's nonsense. Even commercial jets aren't immune. They pirouette across tarmacs as if auditioning for disaster. And still, amidst this airborne mayhem, some beacon of bureaucratic optimism declares record low accident numbers nationwide. Perhaps they're counting paper cuts in aviation offices instead of fiery crashes on runways. Smaller planes continue their reign as harbingers of havoc because they're subject to rules that seem written by someone who's never seen Top Gun but thinks they know how planes work anyway. With over 340,000 general aviation aircraft worldwide, and nearly two-thirds piloted by Americans, the odds are ever not in our favor. So here we are, staring up at skies filled with potential calamity, while clutching onto statistics that soothe us into complacency until reality smacks us back down. Again. This is your daily reminder that even the heavens aren't safe from human folly. Stay grounded or don't, but remember, every flight is just one step away from joining our collective nightmare.
Welcome back to White People Problems, where we tackle the pressing issues that keep your average suburbanite awake at night. Today, let's talk about Tony Awards drama, because if there's one thing that can ruin a gluten-free brunch, it's the thought of Cynthia Erivo hosting Broadway's biggest night. Yes, folks, grab your kale smoothies and artisanal popcorn because Cynthia Erivo is bringing her wicked talents to the Tony stage. And somewhere out there, a gaggle of theater critics just spilled their soy lattes in excitement. I mean, who else could possibly guide us through an evening of jazz hands and interpretive dance with such poise? Hugh Jackman? Please. Erivo is practically royalty in this world. A Tony winner herself, and just one Oscar away from EGOT status. That's Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony for those keeping score at home. You know you're fancy when your awards have more acronyms than a government agency. And what better way to celebrate the pinnacle of theatrical achievement than by having it all narrated by someone who's already conquered it? It's like asking Usain Bolt to commentate on a 5K fun run. Just sit back and watch the magic unfold while you wonder why you ever tried jogging in the first place. But let's not overlook her latest role, taking on Jesus Christ Superstar at the Hollywood Bowl. Because nothing says, I'm versatile, quite like going from playing Mary Magdalene to headlining as JC himself. Somewhere in Los Angeles right now, someone's booking their tickets between yoga classes and avocado toast tastings. So mark your calendars for June 8th, when Radio City Music Hall will be packed with people pretending they understood that experimental piece about existential dread. Or was it just about pigeons? Either way, Cynthia Erivo's got it covered. In conclusion, if you're losing sleep over whether or not she'll rise to this occasion, well, maybe it's time to reevaluate what's truly important in life, like finding out which wine pairs best with self-importance.
Ah, the sweet symphony of cosmic roulette. Just when you thought your daily dose of existential dread couldn't get any more potent, enter stage left. Asteroid 2024 YR4. Our celestial rock star has arrived with a standing ovation from NASA and the European Space Agency, each agency offering their own slightly varied but equally comforting percentages on our potential obliteration. 3.1%, and 2.8%, respectively. But fear not, dear citizens. In an encore performance, NASA adjusted its calculations to a mere 1.5% chance of impact in December 2032. That's right. Breathe easy knowing there's only a slight chance that this space pebble will deliver us back to the Stone Age. It's practically reassuring how these numbers fluctuate like a stock market ticker. It's almost as if they're saying, "Don't worry, we're just guessing." At an impressive size comparable to a large building, this asteroid is the new darling of the Torino Impact Hazard Scale, with a solid 3 out of 10 rating. An accolade worthy of astronomers' attentive gaze, and perhaps a few sleepless nights for anyone who still harbors hope for humanity's future. But let's not get too attached to these figures. After all, they are expected to bounce around before inevitably plummeting to zero. Or so we're told by those who have peered into their telescopes long enough to see beyond our collective doom. It's comforting to know that while Earth may still lie beneath this metaphorical noodle of uncertainty, eventually it might shrink away completely, or at least move far enough that we can pretend everything is fine. In the meantime, we'll continue observing this cosmic intruder through every available telescope until we've mapped its trajectory with precision rivaling that of fortune-telling tea leaves. And should it decide not to grace us with its presence in spectacular fashion come December 2032, well then, we'll simply wait for another interstellar visitor promising yet another round of delightful uncertainty. After all, what's life without a little suspense?
Welcome, dear listeners, to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we ponder the big questions of life while chuckling at its absurdities. Today, we're diving into a story from CNN about the recent unearthing of an ancient Egyptian tomb. And what a tale it is, one that has all the existential trimmings: mystery, identity crisis, and questionable real estate choices. Picture this: King Thutmose II, an ancient Egyptian ruler whose reign was either as fleeting as a bad haircut or long enough to warrant a midlife chariot upgrade. His final resting place was recently discovered in a location so poorly chosen that even modern-day realtors would cringe. A tomb situated under two waterfalls and at the bottom of a slope. One might wonder if Thutmose's afterlife accommodations came with complimentary flood insurance. This discovery raises some profound questions about our own existence. If an ancient king can be misplaced for thousands of years due to poor planning and torrential rains, what hope do we have in keeping track of our car keys? Perhaps this serves as a reminder that no matter how grand one's title or how regal one's burial plans, nature always has the last laugh. And it's usually accompanied by water damage. Moreover, consider the irony in Thutmose II being buried by his wife Hatshepsut rather than his son, who apparently had no interest in playing funeral director. This familial snub might explain why young Thutmose III was eager to distance himself from Hatshepsut. Family dynamics are tricky enough without adding mummification to the mix. But let's not forget the philosophical implications here. If even kings get lost in history's shuffle and their legacies are subject to debate over millennia later, what does that say about our own quests for significance? Are we but alabaster fragments waiting to be pieced together by future archaeologists who will scratch their heads and ask why we were so obsessed with cat videos? In conclusion, dear listeners, as you sip your existential tea today, remember that life's greatest mysteries often lie beneath unexpected places, sometimes literally under waterfalls. So embrace the chaos and absurdity. After all, you never know when you'll end up being part of someone else's historical footnote, or perhaps just another misplaced set of car keys in the sands of time.
In the theater of capitalism's fevered hallucinations, the absurdity reaches new heights as KFC, a brand synonymous with its Kentucky roots, unceremoniously departs from its birthplace. The state that once cradled this fried chicken empire now watches helplessly as it is discarded like yesterday's leftovers. The corporate behemoth Yum Brands reveals its grand strategy: consolidate power in Texas, a state already gorging itself on corporate relocations like a ravenous beast. This move is but another symptom of the insatiable pursuit of profit, where heritage and origins are mere footnotes in the ledger book. Kentucky, once proudly emblazoned on every greasy bucket and box, now finds itself abandoned for the lure of tax breaks and deregulation offered by Texas's business-friendly facade. In this dance of dollars and cents, tradition is an inconvenient relic to be cast aside. Governor Beshear's lament over the loss echoes hollowly in the corridors of power, where decisions are made not by sentiment, but by spreadsheets. Colonel Sanders himself becomes a ghostly figure in this tableau, a quaint mascot whose legacy has been repackaged and sold off to the highest bidder. The irony drips thicker than gravy. A company built on selling an image of Southern comfort now seeks refuge in a land far removed from its origins. The promise of greater collaboration among brands rings as empty as the promises made to employees now tasked with uprooting their lives for corporate convenience. A flagship restaurant planned for Louisville serves more as a token gesture than any genuine commitment, a shiny bauble meant to distract from the larger narrative unfolding. As KFC joins other titans fleeing to Texas, Chevron, Tesla, SpaceX, the pattern emerges with stark clarity. Loyalty lies not with people or places, but with profit margins. This migration isn't just geographical, it's emblematic of capitalism's relentless march toward consolidation and control under the guise of efficiency. A 5% drop in sales sends shockwaves through boardrooms, sparking desperate attempts at reinvention through trendy concepts and executive reshuffles. Yet these maneuvers mask a deeper malaise, a system so consumed by competition that even giants must constantly reinvent themselves or risk obsolescence. And thus unfolds another chapter in capitalism's fever dream, a world where states become interchangeable backdrops for corporate machinations, where history is rewritten not by victors but by venture capitalists, chasing ever-elusive growth. As companies chase profits across borders, one can only wonder what will remain when all that matters is maximized returns at minimal cost, a landscape stripped bare by greed masquerading as progress.